And before I pray, let me say this. I know that if you're in the back, you can't see this, and I'll probably even let you see this. But 3 years ago, Bishop Hawkins was at our conference meetings in Montello when those of us from Motley went there. And on the night we arrived there, I saw this table with displays, and on it was this hand-carved rhinoceros from Africa. And I said to myself, "Self, that's really nice." I wasn't coveting or anything, you see, but I thought that is really nice and really special. And I met Bishop that evening, and the next day I thought, I wonder if that's for sale. Well, it really wasn't for sale. But I asked the bishop about that, and he pondered it a little bit, and he said, "For a generous donation." It could be mine. And so I made that donation and met my brother and visited with him, and I have watched with interest over the years of the work in Africa. And so today, Bishop Hawkins Mugaya is here with us all the way from Kenya, Africa, to preach to us and maybe to share a little bit. And let me just say this too, we are going to invite him throughout the week to stop in at some of our Bible studies, and he may share more about the work there, or if he wants to just sit in our Bible studies, that's fine. But we have Bible studies throughout the week, and some of them he will be at, and we will invite him to say what he wants to about the work in Africa. As Charles said, we're going to have a basket back here. The needs are great, and so if you'd like to contribute to that, we would sure encourage you to do that. Let me pray, then I'm going to turn it over to our brother, Bishop Hawkins. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day and this opportunity that we have to come into your presence to worship you. And as we just sang, Father, we stand or sit or kneel or lie prostrate before you in awe of you, our Heavenly Father, in awe of you who is seated on the throne, in awe of you because you alone are God. And we praise you this morning, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you for your Spirit who is here with us. We praise you for your word. We praise you for our brother, Bishop Hawkins Mugaya, who is here with us this morning. We praise you for the work that you are doing in Africa, Pakistan, Nepal, China, and even in America. We praise you, O God, for all that you are doing. And we pray that you would guide us as we continue to worship. I do pray this morning, Father, for those names on the prayer focus. There are many. Many who are hurting. Again, those that have lost their loved ones, those that are suffering, those that are alone, those that have lost their way and are still perhaps on the broad road in life that leads to destruction. We pray, Father, for all of these and lift them up to you and say and pray, "Thy will be done, O God. Thy will be done in this town, in this nation, across the mighty Atlantic and the mighty Pacific, to nations we've never been at, but were nations where Bishop comes from and others in this congregation have been. We pray for them. We pray that you would save, redeem, set the captives free, heal the sick, the blind, and the brokenhearted. We pray, O God, your will is done across the globe. Thank you for this, our brother, this morning. Bless him. Bless his family and his work back in Kenya. May you receive the glory. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen." Motley Free Methodist, give up a warm welcome to Bishop Hawkins Mugaya.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Praise the Lord. In Kenya, in Africa, when we say praise the Lord, everybody says amen. So I want to See if you are good students. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, now I feel really welcomed here. I want to take this opportunity to thank your pastor who has been so dear to me, and your assistant pastor, she said pastor, and all of you, the family of Kurt and Barbara for the reception. Maybe my English, sometimes I'll pronounce things will be different. You know, Kenya was colonized by the British, so our English sometimes is different, but I'll try the much I can so that we are able to move together. As your pastor has introduced me, I'm Hawkins Mugaya, the Bishop of the Free Methodist Church in Kenya. In Kenya, we have 3 annual conferences. The church is divided into 3, so we have 3 annual conferences. We have over 5,000 full members in the church, and we have close to 200 churches and 198 pastors. So you see, the churches are more than the pastors. I think maybe even here that would be the issue. And sometimes I normally do some chaplain's work with the National Youth Service of Kenya, and I normally meet young people, and I normally teach to them and preach to them. And one of the wonderful thing or fascinating thing is that the young people would want to join Army, Kenya Police, and look for those good works. Sometimes I normally tease them. I say, okay, today I'm doing a recruitment, and the recruitment I'll be giving free. You know, sometimes in Kenya, our government is corrupt. When you want a job or an opportunity to go into Army, wherever, you have to give some money. And if you give money, you are called into the Army or you're given a job opportunity. So I normally tell the young people, today I'm doing recruitment and you don't need to bring any money. There is no corruption, free of charge. And the recruitment is recruiting pastors. Funny enough, I don't normally get any, or sometimes I get one. So even today, if I say I want to recruit pastors today, I don't know how many will be willing to be recruited. Anyway, I'm married. God has blessed us with 2 children. One who is a boy, the firstborn is called Ian. He's 21 years old and is doing international relations back in Kenya. And the second one is called Lenora, who is a girl, and she's in her first year of university doing journalism and linguistics. That's all about myself. I know I can talk a lot about the work of the Lord in Kenya. It's so huge. But we want to thank the Lord that the work is doing on well, and we are encouraging ourselves, and we are able to try and reach out to other parts. Currently, we've been able to reach out to Uganda, especially Jinja, and we've sent a missionary working there, and we are trying to work as a church to do whatever we can do on our own to ensure that the gospel is being spread. I want to take the opportunity also to thank the church in America, the Free Methodist in America. Back in Kenya, people normally say, the church in America is dead. But myself, I say, the church in America is not dead. The church in America is live. Why is it live? Because if the Church of Free Methodists would not begin in America, then the church would not be in Africa. And you people, you are using the little resources that you are having to support missionaries, to support programs there, and the people who are there are really evangelizing, and we're having so many people coming to the Lord. You know, for some of you who are not aware, right now the Free Methodist worldwide, we are talking about the decade of harvest, whereby we want to multiply, increase the number of membership by 2. Right now we are close to 1 million, but we want us to be 3 million and so. And so how will that be? It will only be possible if every one of us will take up his position and stand in the gap and do something for the Lord. And today, the Lord gave me a message. And this is the message that I'm going to share with you. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to listen to it and be able to follow it accordingly. Sometimes it's very difficult to go to a new church and preach there. I'm used to my church. There I preach, I understand people, I know needs. But when I come here, maybe the expectation would be different. However, the Word of God is the Word of God. God speaks to us in a different way. I normally tell people, even if you read the Word of God 100 times, every time the Word of the Lord is new. You'll read it today, you get something new. You read it tomorrow, you get something new. So it can never be old. So today, brothers and sisters, turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This is one of my favorite verses, and I like preaching on this passage. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It's about the Great Commission. And as we talk about the Great Commission, I'm trying to think whether really today the church is really following the Great Commission, or we've turned the Great Commission into Great Omission. Now, there's two different things. There's commission and there's omission. Now, towards this sermon, I want you to ask yourself, are you participating in the Great Commission, or you are participating in the Great Omission? May the Lord help us so that we are able to listen to his word and follow it as it says. The book of Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20, I'm reading from the NIV version. We were talking with Sister Barbara this morning, and she was telling me about various Bible translations. People have various Bible translations. Back in Africa, there are some people who use the King James Version, and they say the King James Version is the best Bible. So if you say you are opening an NIV, they say, no, that is not the correct Word of God. And so there are various versions, but I like NIV version because it's simpler English to myself. I don't like the words thou, though. I don't know how that one means. But however, let's read Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. The Bible says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. These are very, very special words to me. And in fact, in the mission statement of the Free Methodist Church in Kenya, this is our main scripture. And this year, I've challenged the members in the Free Methodist Church. I say, every member of the church need at least just to preach to one person, disciple one person, and bring that one person to Christ and in the church. One. You can imagine what you do throughout the year. You are very busy doing other things. But we forget the most important thing. The most important thing is to be co-workers with Jesus, discipling to people. Sometimes I visit here in America, I come here, and people tell me, now, you know, Bishop, you've come to America. Remember, this is America. And I say, okay, I know it is America. And they say, in America, don't share your faith with anybody else. Say anything, but don't say about your religion. And I say, the Word of God, the Bible, is not American, is not Kenyan, is worldwide. I will share the Word of God. And sometimes some people say, now you know, if you do that, you'll be taken to jail. And I tell them, I'll be very happy to be in jail in America than being in jail in Kenya or even living in Kenya. Because the jail in America, I'll have a bed, I'll have food, I'll have a newspaper, I'll have TV. I enjoy. Life is good here. So if it is preaching about Jesus and making people follow Jesus that can lead me to go to prison, then let me be taken to prison. Even in the aeroplane, when I get an opportunity in the aeroplane, I'm there sharing the Word of God and praying and singing. And people say, no, don't sing, don't do that. I say, no, I'm not disturbing anybody, but I do it silently. Anyway, you know, in Africa, we talk loudly. Even when it is singing, we do sing and they jump and they dance. So my brothers and sisters, even as I preach, I would like to hear you saying an amen as an encouragement so that we can continue listening to the word of the Lord. So, we've read the word of the Lord here, and Jesus is speaking to us about the Great Commission. And these are the very, very last words of Jesus. He never said anything else. After this, he went into heaven. In Africa, we respect our parents so much. I was sharing with the Barbara and the family, and I told them, even right now, I'm still taking care of my mother. My father died 3 years ago, but I'm still taking care of my mother. I have to ensure every month, in whatever I get, I have to send some little money for her to ensure that she has food, she has medicine, she has everything. And I need to call her to see how she's faring on. When I go back home with my family, we don't cook in our own house. We cook in the house of my parents, my mother, and eat there. So we value that family life, that togetherness, that communion. And I'm very impressed. I've tried to visit America. I've gone to various states here. But I think, let me pronounce it well, it's Staples, something like that, Staples. This is the best place I've ever seen. You people, you have the love of Jesus, the love for one another, communal, working together, doing things together. And I'm saying this church will move very far. This church will expand. This church will bring revival in this area and in other parts of the world. I go even in some churches, I find few people, 3 people. The last time I was in another church and I was told they sold the building. My goodness. I don't worship a building, by the way, but like this one is a building, it's a sanctuary. It is dedicated for the purpose of God's work. Then I say, how on earth can Christians allow a building like this one to be sold because we don't have money to maintain it? And ask myself questions. How many of you have sold your own homes because you don't have money to pay for the bills? If you cannot sell your own homes, why are you allowing the house, a place of worship, to be sold? It is like an ark. You have the ark. The ark in the Old Testament was valued. People treasured it. I don't say we treasure buildings, but you know, what is inside our hearts will be seen from what we do. If we love God, we'll put the things of God as number one. If we don't love God, we'll not put his things number one. We'll put our things and ourselves as number one. It is high time, the church today, let's put God first and things of God first. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, first, seek the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. Amen. This morning, what is it that you want from the Lord? Is it health? Is it money? Is it good life? Whatever you want God to do for you, if you seek him first, then all those other things he will be able to give unto you. I had never intended as a young person that one day I'll come to America and I don't know what could be bringing me to America. But I'm glad, I'm thanking God that I'm coming here to preach the gospel and nothing more than that. Now, when I came here, I went to Chicago and they took my passport and they asked me, how many days are you going to stay? And I said, I'm going to stay 1 month and 22 days. I said, no. That's a long period. What will you be doing? And I said, I'm a preacher. I'm going to preach the word of God. He said, where? So I said, explained where I'm going to preach. I thought maybe they'll tell me, now don't talk about God. Don't talk about preaching. But I said, I'm going to preach. I didn't care what they'll tell me. So That person took my passport and stamped in, and I just knew, oh, he has stamped 1 month and 22 days. Then I went, when I was in an aeroplane going to Detroit, something came into my mind, please check, what did that person do? So I checked and I found he did not stamp in July 22, he stamped in July 2nd. And it was, wow, now what will I do? I've programmed various activities that I'll be doing up to that time. What will I tell the people? And then I talked to the pastor who was there, and we tried going to look for an extension. And they said, it is very difficult to extend. But then I had the courage, and I went and I met another officer, and I said, yes, I've come here, I'll be doing ABCD. And I said, I needed to go back on July 22, but this person stamped in 2nd July. And then he said, no problem. In fact, they did a big mistake. You are supposed to stay here up to November. And I said, no, I'm not going to stay until November. I only want to stay until July 22. I don't want to stay up to November. So what is happening? I'm saying, when God is on your side, nothing shall be against you. Let's first seek God, and the God will open doors and windows for us to do things. Even now, when I took the train coming here, I didn't know where I was going. Yes, I met the pastor. I've met him. And I didn't know. But now here you are just on the train and you are going, and you don't know where you are going. Even you've just been given a name, you don't know even how to pronounce the name. And you are not sure. If you arrive at that station, you'll find the right person to pick you. And I just came. And the pastor came and they took me. Then he took me to the family of Kurt and Barbara. I don't know them. And they invited me, and I felt the presence of God being in that house. You've invited me here, the pastor, giving me a pulpit. You know, a pastor cannot easily give somebody a pulpit to come and stand here and just preach. That is the worst thing a pastor can do, even myself. On my pulpit, I have to know which kind of a person is coming. What is his faith? What will he tell people? And especially if they are evangelists. In Kenya, we have very fun evangelists. They can come here and say things that are very bad. And tomorrow you remain there as a pastor trying to heal hearts, because they'll just say words and say words. So this one is the favor of God. And I'm saying, with this favor of God, this church, the Lord will be able to uplift you and you'll go far. So there are four things that we want to see from this portion of scripture that we've read today, that God is talking to us. One, we realize that the word of God here, the Great Commission that we've seen here, one, it is a powerful command in verse 18, as we've read. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Jesus is saying he has all the authority that he can do anything. And if he has authority, then it means all our lives are in the hands of God. We depend on God for survival. And if we depend on God for survival because he has authority, we have to listen to him. How many times do we listen to the word of God? I know we read it. I know we understand it. Even right now, you've heard about the Great Commission now and again. But how many of us are faithful in doing it? Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid of the rules of countries? We say, you know, these are the rules. Yes, even in Kenya, there are constitutions. They are what? But we normally say, if it is against the word of God, and I'm a believer, I am a son of God, I am a child of God, I will do what the word of the Lord tells me. I will not do what the countries, what the nations, what the politicians tells me. Right now, there is a big debate in Kenya. The politicians are using the church. They come in and they give a lot of contributions because they know the church is poor. They come in a church and they see the church is poor, and they say, we'll give you money. You build the church. You do ABCD. But some of us, we are saying, we are not allowing their money. Even if we need the money so much, we tell them, not your money. But if you want to give the money, first of all, know Jesus. make a relationship with Jesus. Believe in Jesus. If you believe in him, you are now part of us. Give us the money. Now, you know, I believe the church runs on tithe and offerings and well wishes, but from those people who know the Lord. So here, the Great Commission, Jesus is saying he has the authority and is using this authority to send everyone of us. So the command of God, it is powerful. That's number one. The command is powerful. And then number two, the command is personal. God is sending every individual. He's saying, go you, go me, and do what? And make disciples. He's not sending the pastor. You know, back even in Africa, when we say that, the Christians say, but we have our pastor. The pastor should be doing this. The pastor should be preaching. This pastor should be visiting people. So the work is the pastor. Have you seen the Bible saying here, go pastor, go reverend, go bishop? He's saying, go you and me. All Christians must go. There is no good work. You know, I normally tell people, say, yeah, being a bishop is a good work. You go to America, you go where, you are doing this. That is not what the Lord wants. In fact, as a bishop or a pastor, we can miss to go into the kingdom of God, but those who followed the great commandment, the great commission, will see the kingdom of God. There is one thing that makes the angel in heaven to rejoice. Do you know what it is? When one soul comes to the Lord. Not when you preach. Not when you are a bishop. Not when you are a leader in the church. But when you preach to one person and that person becomes saved, the angels in heaven stop all the business and they start rejoicing. We need to make the angels in heaven to rejoice by reaching out to people and sharing our faith, sharing the gospel with them. So it is personal. Every individual, every one of you here, you must go out and share the gospel. In your farms, at the place of work, wherever you are, share your faith. There was a day I was sick and I went to the doctor. So when I went to the doctor asked me, how are you? I said, I'm fine. You know, in Africa, we don't know if somebody says, how are you? Just say, I'm fine. Even when I'm sick, you say, how are you? I'll say, I'm fine. So you need to persist. Then I say, yeah, I'm fine, but, so I'll add, but I'm feeling unwell. So I told the doctor. The doctor said, okay, there's no problem. We'll diagnose you and treat you. But as the doctor was trying to find out from me, I took the opportunity to start sharing the gospel with him. I said, doctor, you are a doctor, you're a physician. I don't know how you do your work and how you treat people. So will I be healed? And he said, yes, you'll be healed. But I said, but I know one person who heals. It's God. And then we started a conversation with him. And he said, no, there is no God here. The key thing here is for me to give you the medicine and ensure you follow the instruction as I'm giving you. And I said, even if I follow the instruction as you are saying, minus God, I will not be healed. Then we went on with the discussion and said, I don't think then you are a sick person. If you could be sick, why are you talking and sharing all these kind of things? You should be quiet so that I treat you. But I said, no, I'll not be quiet because I know it's God who is using you to treat me, and you plus God, I'll be saved. And he said, I have never seen a sick person like you coming to me and preaching to me. I want to be saved. So I prayed for him to get saved because I said, you cannot treat me minus Jesus. If you have Jesus, then you'll be able to treat me. What am I trying to say? I'm saying, let's use all the opportunities that we have to share the gospel. Let's not shy off. Let's not say it's the government. Let's not say there are rules in the hotels, in the picnics, where you are. When you have a neighbor, talk to that neighbor slowly. Share the love of God. You know, God does not want this. You know, salvation, it's not only for a few individuals. God wants everybody to be on board. Let's not leave these other people. We have something so precious, something so nice. And you know, if you have something that is good, you do not keep it. You do not hide it. You want everybody to do. When I was a student in school, this is what used to happen. If the teacher writes in my book, well done, or very good, I'll carry my book home to my father, my parents, and show them. You see, the teacher wrote very good or well done because I scored everything. But when I fail, when it is poor, I hide my books. I don't want anybody to see or hear whatever is happening. That is how human nature we are. We don't want to share bad things. We want to share good things. In fact, I was telling people back in Kenya, I said, if you are to call me when I'm in America, don't tell me bad things. Don't tell me my child is sick or ABCD is happening. No, I don't want bad news. Only tell me good news. Those bad news, wait until when I'll come, then you'll tell me, you know, ABCD happened. And they are following that. We need to share good news to people. We need to give people hope. So many people are sick. So many people are in need. We are the doctors. We can fix it. We can change it. Even our society, despite it being bad, we can change it. How will we change it? By sharing the word of God. God is saying, go, every one of us, and share the good news. So, the Great Commission is very powerful. And two, the Great Commission is personal. Third, the Great Commission is plain. It is simple. It is not difficult to do it. And that's why God is saying, go and make disciples. Go and multiply. He's not saying sit and listen. No, he's saying go and make disciples. Then not only just making disciples, he's also saying baptize them. And when I ask people about that, people say, now you know I cannot baptize, it's only the pastor who should baptize. This baptismal here is not meaning directly, literally, immersing the person in water. It means you need to make that person to be a follower of Jesus. There is this habit that I love most back in my country. I don't like going to church alone. I like going to church with a group of other people. So what do? I normally wake up in the morning, go to my neighbors, my friends, say, you see, today is church time. We need to go to church. Then pick three or four people and I go with them. Whenever I go to church, I go with about three, four, five people. I don't go to church alone. And I've made it a habit. And every time, God is opening up an opportunity for me to get at least two or three people and I go with them to church. And maybe it could be a good thing for all of us. Can we make it purpose that I will not be going to church alone? In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, when they were leaving Egypt and they wanted to go to the Canaan land, they said, we will go with our children. We will go with our cows. We will go with everything. They did not leave anything behind. Church, today, we need to worship the Lord with everything. With our children, with our wives, with our husbands, with our neighbors. We need to reach out to them and bring them to the Lord. Today, I think in Nairobi is now when things are changing, whereby some of people there, we are learning now bad behaviors because sometimes I don't know who is my next neighbor. But there we have something in Swahili they call nyumba kumi. That is in 10th, where you are staying, you are 10 people, you need to make something like a community, 10 of you, and know each other because of the terrorism that's happening there. So they say you need to be careful to know if you are staying somewhere, you need to be in a circuit of 10 people. And know each other. Know your next neighbor. Who is he? What is he doing? And that way, it is possible now to interact with these people and share the word of God with them. Maybe I may say that could be a model here. I may say, now, be in 10. Know who is staying close to you. And here, I like it how they do it. You always make houses where people stay at one particular area. You know, in Africa, you don't stay in one particular area. Houses are scattered all over, so you have to move all over. But for your case, preaching the gospel is easy. You stay at one place. Will you be taken to jail if you go to your next door and say, "Hello, I'm your neighbor, I'm so and so, come"? Maybe you normally do what? You know, I normally see you doing parties together, you invite them for party, you do whatever, and you share together. And as you do the sharing, you are able to share the word of God with these people. So let's adhere to the Great Commission. It is the only thing that can touch the heart of God. It is the only thing that can bring a lot of blessings into our hearts. Number four, which is the last one, the Great Commission is a perpetual command. In verse 20, and the Bible says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." And I can hear an amen from there. Can we say amen?
Amen.
If you adhere and do as per the Great Commission, the Lord will be with you and me until the end of the age. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In every situation, he'll be there. Because he's pleased. He's saying, "This is my son. This is my daughter. He's following my commands." As parents, those who are here as parents, we love our children. When we talk to them and they hear, you tell them, "Do this," and they do it, you feel good. And in fact, if you have anything that is nice, you'll give to that child because the child listens. Even back in Africa, this is how it happens. Sometimes our parents give us inheritance. If he has land, and the land goes through maybe mountains and the Rockies, and there is a good place, which is a fertile place, the parent will always be observing among the children, who is the best children who takes care of him, who listens to his command. If you are a good child who listens to his command, what he does, he will ensure when he's dividing the land, he will give you that part that is fertile. But that child that was very stubborn, he will not give him the fertile part of the land. He'll give him in the rocky and the bad part of the land. Because this child is not obedient. God is looking for obedience so that he can command blessings upon us. My brothers and sisters, what do you have in your hands? God asked Moses, and Moses said, "I have a staff." And God used the staff to bless him. Lastly, Jesus, when he met the 5,000 people and they fed them, he asked for food, and it was only 2 fish and 3 loaves of bread. And he used it, multiplied it, and so many people were fed on it. That little that you have, if you give it to the Lord for the work of the Lord will multiply it, and his work will spread all over. We may not all of us be missionaries to go to Africa or to go to America everywhere and preach the gospel. But you can support those who are preaching the gospel by prayers, by what you have, by encouragement. And I'm telling you, you would be participating in the Great Commission. And as you participate in the Great Commission, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will uplift you. The Lord is saying, "I will be with you until the end of the age." What a blessed thing that after everything on this world, we go to heaven and be with the Lord and rejoice and say, "I did a good job. I fought a good fight and I've won the crown for myself." It will be shame if all of us will miss to be in the kingdom this morning. Are you for the Great Commission or are you for the Great Omission? Are you participating in this Great Commission or are you just there listening? And if you've heard my word and if God has spoken to you, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord that, "God, this year I want to participate in the Great Commission. I want you to open a way that I get somebody and I disciple that person and I bring him to the church." And when I'll be hearing from your pastor that all of you heard the word of God and you've invited one person in the house of the Lord, where I'll be, I'll say, God, I thank you. I did not only come from Africa to US freely. I did something. And God, your children did something. May you bless them. It is sure the Lord will bless us. The Lord will uplift us. I wish you well. The Lord bless you and thank you.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is true. Moment by moment, it is given to us each minute of the day. Help us, Father, to see more clearly the opportunities that you're giving to us to shine the light of Christ and to spread the gospel and to introduce others to Jesus, wherever it may be, at the store, in our community, commuting to work, our breaks at work, while we're on vacation, while we're at the lake, wherever it may be. Those you bring into our lives, Father, help us to have in our hearts the words that are ready to spread the gospel and to share Christ with others. May we never forsake any opportunity you give to us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.